This is JFM Podcast.
If it's not giving, then it's not J. JFM, giving all day.
It's no longer news how the recent economic challenges have affected the lives and daily living of Nigerians, and also affected every sector in the Nigerian economy, widening the gap between the rich and the poor. The hardship is becoming unbearable, as we have seen in so many states in Nigeria, as a lot of people have come out weeks before now to protest, and also the NLC threatening to go on strike from next week, I believe, and the TUC as well. And even ASUU is threatening to go on strike. Bread sellers are threatening to go on strike. How long is this going to continue? How much more can the common man take in Nigeria? Well, you are tuned to Let's Talk on J101.9 FM. And this is the time where we get to talk about bothering situations across the country. I am Naomi Curry.
And I'm Richard Badung. Following the issues we have on ground, definitely it's worrisome to say that Nigeria now is under a new administration and things are not getting easy at all. People will normally think, when a new government comes, probably before the elections, this person should be able to solve the problems of Nigerians. But unfortunately, that has not been the case for so many years now, and this very administration is not changing the scenario. Well, this is Let's Talk, and we have a guest that will be discussing about Nigeria so far under the watch of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, following the fact that the economy itself has not been favorable, with the rises of grains, the prices of grains, are becoming one of the major issues. Food security is another issue we'll be facing because of the level of the attacks that has been going on majorly northern Nigeria that actually supply most of the food, we eat in this very part of the country. Now, talking about the issue today, we'll be like she said rightfully, we'll be talking about the economy and trying to see what exactly will be going on. Joining us in the studio this morning, you'll be getting to hear the voice of Dr. Philip Iyango. Good morning, Dr. Philip.
Yeah, good morning, Richard, and good morning, Naomi. Good morning, listeners out there. I'm glad to be here. And, as gruesome as the economy is, I guess here we are again.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll be able to make sense of what the situation is for citizens out there, and probably to lend our voices in terms of remedy to what this malady should get, to usher some form of a prosperous economy for citizens.
All right. The Nigerian economy has actually been, faced with lots of worries, lots of issues on ground. We've seen so many troubles. Throughout the week, we've been talking about the economy, the state of the economy, the hardship and the threats from the NLC, the TUC and others. Today being Thursday, we'll be looking at how things can actually get better, in this very economy, with the state at which it is. Let me begin by asking you so far, what is your own perspective? What is your view of the present economy of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu?
Well, I must say that a great question at that, and in finding answers to the whole situation of having a government in place, yet a government with an evolution, a government coming as a result of an evolution of some, I would say, previous outcomes in the previous location, meaning that largely President Bola Ahmed Tinubu rode to the villa or in the mantra of having performed in Lagos.
Yes.
Now, the situation is not, I would say, with outcomes to celebrate that kind of campaign frame. Now, citizens across the country, in fact, in very Lagos, are beginning to throw complaints. But we must be critical in isolating what the responses and what the conduct of President Bola Ahmed, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu's government has been giving out to managing the economy and the outcomes. In doing so, what we're experiencing is that, yes, there have been variables around the economy of increasing suffrage, increasing austerity, increasing difficulty. But what has been the conduct of government? The conduct of government has been that of some salvaging actions, I would say, in all sincerity. Over the past 8 years, this country has witnessed immense borrowing for servicing of demands that are not, in fact, along the course of getting this country to where it's supposed to be. We've been borrowing to finance luxuries of servicing sectors of the economy, as it were, that contribute little or nothing to making this economy what it's supposed to be. Now, in getting this country working, there's been a removal of subsidy. A number of persons want to debate that this has occasioned the great difficulty that we're in. But we must get to a point where there has to be interventional decisions to get our economy working. Now, in discussing shortly and in making a preamble, you mentioned how insecurity has gotten our country obviously with some challenges. But what you mentioned clearly was the cost of grains. And finding the nexus between what government has been doing and why the cost of commodities has been going quite high and what citizens are experiencing, you'd want to pick communities that have been responsible for this immense production of commodities that manage the value chain of a whole lot of services. Now you pick just grains. The cost of grains will have impact on bread, and you want to ask how. Grains usually would go into making feeds. Feeds would go into poultry value chains. The poultry would be responsible for eggs.
Yes.
Now, at the end of the day, what we have is that bread sellers are threatening to go on strike.
Mm-hmm.
You have the high cost of these commodities that citizens are grappling with. What is government doing? We've had large carnage in terms of genocidal conduct in communities responsible for these mass productions. Okay,
yeah.
So if you marry what government is doing and what the impact has been for citizens, I would like to say that the expectation from citizens has been that of what the situation has been in this country. Some, I would say, perpetual acceptance of the status quo and not a deliberate, I would say, demand of saying particular actions be done. Communities are wiped off. We all are having numerous persons in
IDPs.
In IDP camps. And these are the productive frame that would get the cost of bread down, if you get the connection.
Very yes. Well.
Okay? So this is the actual connection. And this is to say, if we are to find a remedy for this economy, and looking at all the variables of the economy, the costs, the values of inflation, what public debt has been like, in fact, the size of our GDP, we must get this economy functional by getting people back to work. And getting people back to work would be dependent on the deliberate actions of the government at the center. We're beginning to see some tendencies. Yes, the government is taking strategic decisions, and I applaud and support those decisions. We cannot continue to borrow to service a select few that will continue to fleece and milk this country dry by claiming portions of consumption of PMS that, in fact, we can't marry.
Mm.
You say consume over 35 million liters a day, and that is subsidized. Has that really been the situation?
Mm.
And that has been what we have been borrowing to service. Now, we have found a deliberate action to yank that off. But the things that actually drive a functional economy usually will be respect for rule of law.
True.
Yeah.
We have had very entrenched corruption as an evolving tendency. We've had very, very nauseating political interference in the judiciary. Now, these are the variables that end up bringing down the pie of having a very important drive of foreign direct investment that would show up. Well, this is the reality with regards to exactly why we need to have a functional economy with regards of government and the interventions of government.
All right. Now, let's look at, you know, how things have actually fared so far. You know, the president, when he came on board, he met inflation rates at 22.41%. You know, that was actually what he met from the past administration before he left. Now, with the hike of, you know, fuel price, removal of fuel subsidy, and how the economy became what it became, you know, as at when he came on board, the president, again, you know, as at December last year, the inflation rose to 28.92%. Now, leaving the prices of commodities, I think, to some point, you know, increase, you know, over what it is now in January to May, it's actually 21.82% to 22.41%. If you follow the calculation, it's less than 2%, you know, increase. But from what we saw, or what we've seen, it's over 3% increase from, you know, last administration to this very administration in just less than a year. Now, let's talk about the price of food again. Maize before now, depends on your location, you could actually get a bag of maize for at as small as 34,000 naira, you know, before now. And of course, the price of rice, just for an example again, depending on your location, you know, is sold between 30 or 20, some, I think in the range of 28, I think, to 40,000 before now. But today, it's between the range of 60 to 70,000. Now, the policies we've gotten so far are the fact that, you know, they need to bring our refinery back to life. It's 9 months now, there is nothing. And so far, we've seen distribution of our palliatives to states. The sum of 5 billion that was shared to some states in Nigeria, almost all the states, and of course, some palliative also been given of recent. To you, do you think that was a wise measure following the things we're facing in the country and the things we need to fix? Do you think the president actually made the right step in making sure those palliatives were given to this, you know, to this state with what Nigeria are currently facing at the moment?
Well, palliation usually would just be some sort of, I would say,
a way to cushion effects.
Largely medicine to a dying system.
Okay.
Okay. Palliation is not curative, and that there was a deliberate effort for, I would say, surface dressing to manage the chaos that will come. The chaos we are already in was just a way of being humane in saying chaos is on the way, chaos is here, but as you go through the fire, just wear this cold coat, maybe it won't burn you completely. But we are being burned. Okay? Now, the reality is that what will get us out of this tragedy is a cure. And the cure, without missing words, is getting us back to production, getting us back to being a productive nation. We cannot continue to consume. We cannot continue to stay away from deliberate government laws that will get production functional. Mm-hmm. What will drive the rates of this inflation down is getting us to a production scale. Now, if you look at the policy, the legal documents guiding funding and investments in this country, obviously the national budget, you find that that in itself is a statement of shoring up inflationary figures. Why? You pick billions and billions of naira to a cluster of maybe 400 people, the National Assembly, and you find if you marry that to sectors needing critical investments, it would be an obvious admission that you're not ready to manage inflation, okay? Yeah. You look at the deliberate spendings, the daily cash-backed releases from the center. What you would see is that we really are just playing lip service. We're interested in perpetual palliation. It looks like we're interested in a political democracy that is always geared towards who wins elections and who loses elections, rather than having an economy that works for all. An economy that works for all, meaning that an economy that would drive productivity regardless of who is in the villa. And if we do not have that, I bet you inflation and pricing of commodities, the pricing of rice, pricing of maize, as you made mention of, would continue to skyrocket. Why? The investments we're putting to make sure that farmers produce these commodities within a space that demand and supply will drive pricing, which will be a tragedy. And yeah, the tragedy is what we're experiencing. You cannot tell me that in an economy, for instance, within our space on the plateau, Mangu, Bokos, now emerged in
in tragic conflict. Okay, the production capacity is down. Supply crunch. Meaning now crunch.
Yeah.
Pricing will go up. This economy 101. Okay, we are experiencing the consequences and the outcomes of our actions. We have failed to provide security. We have failed to provide the enabling environment for production to happen. What will happen is that we will experience the dynamics of market forces, and the dynamics of market forces are driven by demand and supply.
Supply.
And what we have is that we are not producing adequately. And because of, and in fact, we are not, rather than giving dole outs in a social service manner, what we need to do is, I would say, palliate or incentivize production. We ought to see incentives for the farmers. We ought to see incentives across the value chain of what would get these products available to drive pricing down. But that's not happening. Okay? So our nation must deliberately take decisions by the day to make sure that we're obviously within the ambits of decisions that would salvage this malady and change the tide for the better. Because I bet you, the currencies of this tragedy do not segregate across all the variables of our division in this country. Whether you are Muslim, Christian, Hindu, whether you are pagan, the prices of maize, rice, the prices of medications, the prices of services will continue to hit all of us on an equal measure.
Of course.
So government must intervene.
Of course, hardship is not selective.
Exactly.
When it comes to one, it comes to all. Exactly. Okay, speaking a little bit, because you just mentioned prices of drugs and all of that. We saw sometime in January from pharmaceutical companies closing down and moving out of Nigeria. And we also see that the only syringe producing company, it has closed down as well. How... before now, healthcare used to be relatively accessible to the common man in the rural area. Right now, we see that it has become hard. The prices of drugs has skyrocketed. Even the rich are even complaining that the prices of drugs is something else. I mean, augmentin that was very affordable, I would say, is now about 16,000 thereabout. What would you say the government needs to do? Because as we see, those right now in the IDP camps are solely depending on either CSOs, volunteers, UNICEF, or whoever comes to give them drugs and all of that. And that is people who are even in crisis areas. How about other people who are just in rural areas and don't have access to affordable healthcare?
So maybe I should expand even the chaos for you to make sense of the situation.
Yes,
if you look at what the situation is with regards to even the personnel to care for these persons, aside even the
because
consumables.
Because we even saw that last week the NMCN is now restricting, now bringing laws that nurses cannot leave Nigeria without 2 years of practice and all of that.
Now imagine a country of over 211 million
people.
In counting. Okay, now with a large illiteracy level, okay, now saying you want to keep citizens in a state of despondency and stop them from seeking survival elsewhere. To me, that policy was also just another expression of how poorly thought out systems can be. But to say the least, what government must do in this situation, again, is to look at production. We are with an inherent capacity in this country to produce what we can consume and even export. We are within a system, we are within a country that is blessed with all the excipients, all the substrates to drive production of pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
Rubber, metals in proportions designate with the clear antiseptic design as syringes and needles can be produced in this country. The other day I was having a conversation about the number of cannulae equipment, consumables used to administer medication.
Yes.
Okay. If you just do an audit of that value chain, we consume in tens of millions of dollars what those consumables are available for the healthcare system. But what is the production scheme? What is the production scale? There is a need for a value chain audit, even in the services sector, the healthcare sector precisely. The cost of medications, the cost of other consumables, bandages, antiseptics like methylated spirit, a whole lot of this, a gamut of these pharmaceutical products. The worry is that what we see in this country is perpetual consumption. You called out Augmentin, a brand name for an antibiotic.
Yes.
Okay. We have local manufacturers of medications that can be supported to go into the production of amoxicillin and clavulinic acid. What is Augmentin? Okay. But we have had a culture of consuming what other economies bring and keep here for us, and we value those. Who says we can't produce these medications here? Production must be encouraged locally. In fact, in the wake of the removal of subsidy, there was a 75 billion naira intervention component for select manufacturers to the tune of a billion each. I expected that there would be an audit of the value chain of these products that would suffer the initial shock of the removal of subsidy. Now, if we deliberately put in the funding with regards to the personnel and the equipment and the whole production line with funding for these issues around production, what we'll begin to enjoy is that prices would, if you suffer a crunch of gari and you deliberately grow cassava,
yes,
in a large scale, and you begin to supply cassava, what it means that if you have pans and frying MSMEs, it will drive the price of gari down. Now, make no mistake, if we are able to get the manufacturing of needles, syringes,
yes,
medications,
bandages,
consumable,
even yes, cotton wool,
okay,
like,
yes,
if we're able to get these things properly invested in,
yeah,
what we'll enjoy is that, in fact, we'll be a net exporter. The skill set is there. In fact, if you look at the unemployment figures for our country, it is a direct reflection of why these prices are within the reality of what we're enjoying.
Yes.
Why would you have a productive population so sitting and doing nothing? Just with numerous betting shops, numerous entertainment spaces, numerous schemes that drain down the productive capacity of a population.
Yes, let me just add a question very quickly to this particular subject. Would you say that this is the right time for us to go back to our roots and herbs? Because majority of these medications can be processed from the roots and herbs that we do have in our country, that we have been blessed with.
In a bid to find a remedy, we should not create another carnage.
Okay.
There is a standard for global healthcare.
Yes.
Global healthcare should be practiced with regards to standardization.
Mm-hmm.
Herbal medicine is an alternative.
Yeah.
I bet you and I promote. But there is a need for standardization and
of
regularization.
Okay.
The most recent I have seen is that curriculums are being designed for alternative medicine. And why is this so? We need to sell this herb in this proportion. If you're taking Agbo in Lagos, it should be the same Agbo in Jos. If you're taking Agbo in Kano, it should be the same Agbo in Osun. Okay? Yes, alternative medicine is an alternative to this tragedy in driving down prices and managing health obvious demands, but we must standardize. Lest we get into another created tragedy of numerous ailments because we now are consuming unregulated.
All kinds, yeah.
We must get regulation standardized. In fact, what drives an economy is not just a function of these investments without regulation. Regulation must be aptly managed to a point that we know what is going into sectors and there are consequences for flaws. But we can't drive an economy and recover an ailing economy with very poor, shabby regulatory frames and structures.
All right.
Imagine that to clear materials, the bureaucracy around even exports is a big tragedy. We must get a civil service so functional, so efficient with work ethics that drive nationalistic progress. Otherwise, what we'll be doing is we're trying to engender the culture of just palliation. Our nation must move away from this endemic tradition of surface dressing and just rubbing oils to manage a very dirty body.
All right, so quickly run through the some of the comments before we get to final words. I have one more question, but let's quickly go through the comments. This one says from Dauda A. Ajiji, there is time for everything. The present hardship in the country is not worse than the ones we had in the previous years. Industrial actions or protests will not solve it. We should continue farming, creating menial jobs, etc., that will sustain us. After a while, it shall come to pass and it will be history for the living.
Okay, and from Yusuf T-Boy, he says, good morning, Naomi Richard. Indeed, the current hardship in the country is no longer funny. Prices of food and commodity are increasing on a daily basis. Spaghetti is now 100... Okay, I'm not sure he has this correctly because I don't think spaghetti is 100 naira anymore. But I believe that what he's saying, he says, Haba, it's high time Nigerians stand on their feet and take action since the government is not ready to take measures.
I think he was trying to compare before and now, because I could actually see a bag of rice is now 78k, bread is now 1,100.
Yes.
Well, let's just leave that. This will be the last comment to be taken. The country is just too big to be run by a single person with so much power. The political class in Nigeria intentionally killed the future for us, the poor. They don't want us to succeed. Either you die or you remain poor. Quickly, I will not want us to react to this. So sorry, it's an abridged version. We'll not be opening the phone lines. But before we go in, just 30 seconds, I just want to know. So you, people have been talking about, or some Nigerians have been talking about the creation of a price regulatory body. How possible is that in a country like Nigeria, 36 states, where we have a mixed economy, both the government and the people actually go into the same line of business sometimes?
For a constitutional democracy, the liberty and the freedom of markets must be ensured and managed and even guaranteed. Having that would sure have a variable. Yes, some regulation for pricing is important. Even in other constitutional democracies, there are regulatory frames for pricing. You cannot come and continue to exploit the people when there are known variables that drive pricing. Believe me, there are sharp practices around pricing, and that needs to be managed. But we cannot fix prices in a free and market, in a free and liberalized economy. But we need to ensure that regulatory frames are available to engender pricing. And I must say that the agreements between governments and labor should be managed properly. It has a function in managing even pricing. Because if civil servants are doing their jobs diligently, they would monitor the value chain of essential commodities. And that would have a component in driving and managing even the pricing you're talking about of critical commodities for citizens.
All right.
Well, that's about the much we can take this morning on Let's Talk. Thank you very much, Dr. Philip, for joining us this morning
Thank you, Richard. I'm glad to be here.
And we actually apologize to everyone who wanted to actually call in to lay in their voice. It's an abridged version and, of course, a vast conversation, robust one we've been having in the studio. Well, let's do this again next week. This is the last four Let's Talk. Of course, Morning J continues tomorrow by 7 a.m. Do well to join. But other programs will come, but the news will come by 10 a.m. I am Richard Baden. With me has been
Naomi Karim. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.